Of Advent, a season of waiting and preparation, a time of reflection. And so each week we will be starting worship with a prelude. The bells are going to do the prelude again this morning. And then we will go into a sung introit. The introit is designed to help us get into worship. Last week the choir did it. But this week you, the congregation, are asked to join the voices of the choir. If you open your bulletin, you will notice that introit are the first two verses of hymn number 4. So if you want to have your hymn books open and ready, you may remain seated for that introit, but you're invited to sing along with the choir. Let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of God.
Please rise and join me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin. In anticipation, we gather.
With expectation, we wait.
We gather to watch for the coming of the good news into the world and into our lives.
We wait to see the fullness of God's vision.
O God, open the doors to our hearts that this year we might have room for the birth of Jesus.
O God, as we marvel over all that you are doing, overwhelm us with so much wonder that the words of praise can be forth from our lips.
In this time of waiting, let true worship begin in our hearts.
We come with peace in our hearts to worship God.
You may be seated. I would like to invite Steve and Casey and Lily and Noah to come forward to light our wreath. And I'd like to invite all the children who are here to come on up and help them. So if there are kids here, come on up because they need your help. All right, gather around the wreath. All right, so last week, remember, we talked about this wreath and how we are going to light each one of these candles until they are all lit, which means that Christmas is here when they're all lit. Now, I don't think anyone probably in the entire congregation remembers, but do any of you remember what the first candle of Advent is for? Do you? Hope! Very good. And so today, the second candle that we light is the candle of peace. And so if you can move, Irving, just to let Steve come down so he can get close to the candles.
We relight the first candle of Advent, the candle of hope. And now we light the candle to proclaim the coming of the light of God into the world.
I know we want Christmas to come, but not quite yet.
With the coming of this light, there is peace, for Christ is called the Prince of Peace. We remember that the child shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. The presence of Christ gives us the ability to live in the midst of all life can throw at us with calm in our heart. Please join me in the unison Advent prayer, followed by our sung response as printed in your bulletin. And let us pray. God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come,
we thank you for the gift of peace you have bestowed upon us. Help us to know and cherish your peace in our lives. We pray that in this Advent season, we may, by what we do, show your presence to the sick, to the hungry, and to the lonely, so that they too may have peace. Amen. Sisters and brothers, we have talked about peace, we have sung about peace, we have even prayed about peace, and so it is high time that we shared that peace. The peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
And now share it with each other. You want to leave it?
Sorry, you got the bad chair.
You want to switch?
Not right now. Sorry.
Okay. Well, I mean, there is stuff going on. The camera's somewhere else. Okay. I don't believe it. There is peace in the air, and I love it. When you have finished sharing the peace, please have a seat. And children who are with us today, you are all invited to go back to the Sunday school room. They have a special program for you today. So if you'd like to go head on back there, this would be a great time to do that. So once again, sisters and brothers, I bid you good morning. In the name of Christ, the one for whom we wait, I bid you welcome to this holy space, to this sanctuary, to this faithful body, to this worship of God. If you remember nothing else about this morning, if you somehow managed to forget those beautiful bells that called us into worship, if you forget all about those candles of hope or peace, if you somehow managed to forget my sermon, or if you managed to forget the prayers or the choirs or anything else, I hope you remember this, that you, each and every one of you, are welcome here just as you are. You are welcome here with all of your questions and with any doubts, with all of your hopes and any fears, whether your life is numbered in few or many years, whether you can't wait for Christmas to finally come, or whether you can't wait for it all to be over. You are welcome here not for anything you have done, but for who you are, a beloved child of God made in God's very own image. And so drink in the hope, swim deeply in the peace, revel in the music and the word and the prayer, and know that you will leave here different from when you came. Remember, you are welcome here. Before I invite people forward for the announcements, I invite you to take note of this white rose and this candle here on the table. They are here in honor and memory and thanksgiving for the life of Nelson Mandela, faithful servant of God, disciple of peace. Let us take a moment in silent prayer. Loving God, for all your gifts, and especially this morning for the gift of your disciple of peace, the one we knew as Nelson, we give you thanks and praise. Amen. And so, if there are any here who have an announcement to make, I'd invite you to come up here now to this mic so you may be there and prepared to make your announcements. While you come forward, I invite any of our guests who are out there in the pews to fill out one of the pew cards that you see hanging in front of you and put it in the offering plate so that you may place it there when it goes by. Also, I want to let you know there are a couple of concerts coming up this week to benefit the Emergency Fuel Fund. All the details are going to be on a huge poster out there at the fellowship table so that you can take note. Go ahead over, Jean, and go ahead with the announcements, Terry.
Hi, I'm Terry Wise, Chairman of Mission in Action, and we have 40 new tags on our Christmas tree out here in the Jonathan Edwards room. All the details are in your purple insert, but if you did not get a chance to pick up one or two tags to shop for someone else for this Christmas season, when you were here, if you were here last week or not, please take a look and pick out something that you would like to shop for and bring it back next week. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Jackie Hawkins. I'm president of the Service League, and I just would like to make a few statements. The first is a very, very big thank you to Aliva Henderson and Connie Montgomery for all of the work they did on recruiting the gentleman that helped us set up the Holly Fair and break down the Holly Fair. It's a tedious job for them to sit on the telephone and do those calls. They have been doing it for quite a few years, and we really appreciate it. We also appreciate all you wonderful men who did arrive and did all your work, and it was a very, very big thank you to all of you. And also, thank you to all of you buyers and all of you bakers. It was a very successful Holly Fair, and as of today, we made $6,100. And Yeah, very, and it was a beautiful day. Also, a next announcement, Service League will be meeting tomorrow. We are having just a short meeting, bring a sandwich, and we're going to just have probably about an hour and a half meeting. And the next thing I would like to mention, under the Christmas tree, you will see a plastic, white plastic basket with a note on it that if you would like to contribute some cat food, cans or dry food, there is a two or three ladies of the church that would like to do that for the pet places and distribute that for Christmas. So if you have a couple of extra cans or some dry food, bring it next week and pop it in the basket, and they would be very appreciative. Thank you very much.
Before I tell you about this announcement, which I think will be, about this concert, which I think will be a real treat, in the spirit of Nelson Mandela, this is to raise money for orphanages in Ghana, in India, in Uganda. So, it is an appropriate concert to go to now. 7 o'clock tonight will be Selections from the Messiah, with a string orchestra, trumpet, timpani, our old Dutch Schmaltze singing the tenor solos, John Cheek singing the bass solos, a number of the top members of the congregation in the chorus. I think it's going to be a splendid concert. So you're all invited if you'd like to hear the Messiah with an orchestra. Tonight at 7 o'clock, at the Greenwoods Community Church down in Ashley Falls. This poster will be out there.
Friends, there never has been, nor will there ever be, another moment quite like this one. It is a moment made for the worship of God. So let us get to it.
Our reading this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, as recorded in the 11th chapter. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the awe-filled respect of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them all. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. These are words of truth. Let us rejoice and be glad in them.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Brothers and sisters, will you pray with me? Loving God of all light and life, slow our hearts and our lives down, that we may be open to the coming of the Christ child and may know him again for the first time. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. So I need to see a show of hands. How many people here in the sanctuary already have a Christmas tree up in their house? All right. And another question, for those of you who have not, how many of the rest of you at least plan to at some time put it one up? All right, I am glad to see that, because for me, Christmas trees, I think, are amazing things. Somehow, in the midst of winter, in a time where light is scarce and where warmth is such a precious commodity, those trees, they fill the room, and maybe even the whole house, with light, with life, and with warmth. I love the lights on the tree. Now, you need to know, at the risk of divulging a little family conflict, John and I have a disagreement about those lights. John is one of those guys who likes things pure and simple, and so clear lights are what should be on the tree for John. Me, I don't know, I like a little color. And so for me, a Christmas tree is really only a Christmas tree with lots of colorful lights on it. So John and I did go down last Sunday and got our tree with Jake. We ended up at Agway in Great Barrington, and we found a lovely 9-foot-tall Fraser fir that hits the ceiling in the living room. It sits just to the left of the fireplace. You can't miss it when you come through the front door. It brings light and warmth whenever I come in. I found out an interesting thing about Christmas trees this year. It turns out Christmas trees, they survive their journey from wherever they are cut to Agway or Ward's or wherever you get your tree by an act of self-preservation. When a tree like that is chopped down, the trunk, the part of the tree that is green, it still seeks water, and if it can't find any water, it protects itself. It sends down a whole bunch of sap to the base there where it's been cut, and it covers that wound with layer after layer after layer of resin. It's an act of self-preservation. Covering that wound tries to keep the moisture and the life inside of the tree. But if you think about it, it's far from a perfect solution, because while that sap keeps things out of the tree, it also keeps any new water from getting inside. And so while it is a fix, the long-term implications are no good. But it does give the tree a second chance. Because if you take that tree home, right, you take a fresh cut. You cut off the bottom, you cut through all of that resin and all of that sap, and that tree suddenly is capable of drinking again. We found that that giant 9-foot tree gulped water when we first cut it off. Having been covered in layer and layer and layer of sap, the chance for new life was greeted by that tree fully and deeply. Turns out, at least from my own life experience, that we as human beings are a whole lot like Christmas trees. That sometimes when we get hurt, that hurt is too deep or too raw for us to get it inside of it and clean it out and heal it. And sometimes when those hurts are so deep, we simply cover over our wounds with layer after layer after layer. It's all about self-preservation, trying to keep us from having to relive that pain or feel it or let some other risk like it come into our lives. Take Jenny, for example. They were just words,
Words whispered amongst schoolgirls in the frenzy of the hallway between classes, but somehow those words, they stayed with Jenny. She will tell you that she remembers that day in 10th grade quite well, when she came around the corner and heard her best friend, Sarah, the one whom she had trusted her deepest secrets to, the one she told things to that she told no one else, and she heard Sarah telling her secrets to other people. And her heart, it dropped. But then when she heard all of those people laugh, it cut to her heart. So Jenny did what Christmas trees do. She smiled, but she covered that hurt with layers after layers of protection. She buried the betrayal and shame she felt under layers of self-preservation. But she would tell you it was far from perfect, because while she didn't really feel that pain, she also kept any new friends from getting all that close. She kept her secrets in the future to herself. It was a fix, but the long-term implications were not so good. But Jenny kept waiting and waiting for the right friend to come along, the one she could trust to cut through all those layers so that new, fresh water might come in and self-preservation might give way to new life. We all carry those wounds. Wounds of either things we have done or left undone, things that have been done to us, things that were too hard for us to look straight at, wounds that we covered up. And so at least we don't feel them anymore, but every once in a while, they're there, aren't they? Here's the thing. I don't believe for a moment that God wants us as people to live in self-preservation mode. Because when we only cover our wounds, the long-term implications are not so good. The fullness of our life becomes diminished. And God is about fulfillment, not diminishment. Isaiah proclaimed the truth that Diane read to you to the people of Israel who were firmly in self-preservation mode. They were surrounded by impending doom, and the house of David, that great monarchy that God had promised, was about to get chopped off, just like the Christmas tree. And so Isaiah proclaims, "A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse. New life is going to come in to the Davidic tree, and that tree shall bring light, and it shall bring life, the fragrance of peace and the promise of God." In Advent, we celebrate that that new shoot is Jesus. Through Jesus, God made a fresh cut for the tree of David, that it might gulp water greedily until life flowed back into all of the branches and hope into all of the people. God sent Jesus to the people of that time and the people of our time so that we might remember that peace is not just God's gift. It is God's objective for all of creation and for each of our lives. God did not send Jesus that an ancient dynasty might be reborn, but rather that you and I might be reborn. And so my question for you this Advent is, where in your life do you need new life and new hope? Where are those wounds that you have carried with you? The places in your own life where out of self-preservation, you may have covered over a hurt with layer upon layer upon layer of protection. Maybe diminishing that pain, even if the long-term implications are not so great. Thinking about Nelson Mandela, I was reminded of a quote by Desmond Tutu. As they were giving new life to South Africa, as the two of them worked hard together to breathe new life into that nation, they launched a project of reconciliation and hope, a program where people came forward to admit horrific things that had happened in hopes of healing those wounds, horrific things done by the government of apartheid and horrific things that had been done by the African National Congress. And people came forward and they told horrible stories. And then the people who perpetrated those stories came forward and they simply said what happened. And through that, they tried to find healing, a fresh cut. Here's what Tutu had to say. He said, "It's not easy to open wounds. In fact, it is very, very painful. But if you don't want wounds to fester, you need to open them up. And you need to cleanse them. You need to put a balm on them so that you can really live again." Friends, here in Advent, we are waiting for the coming of the Christ child, that new shoot from the stump of Jesse, the little child who will lead us into new life. As we wait, we focus so much on how he was born. I hope we also focus on how Jesus lived his life. He lived so that people might find peace, not just in a global or political sense, but also in a personal sense. Jesus brought new life to countless people by doing the hard work of helping people open wounds that they might actually heal. It's not just his birth, but his life that is at the core of the Advent message of new life and new hope. And so, friends, in this Advent, let that promise of that gift and the truth of his life allow us to do the hard work of finding our wounds and opening them up in the grace of God, that they might be cleansed, so that like that Christmas tree you're going to put in your living room, you might with joy draw water and drink deeply, that you might find new life even beneath your deepest wounds and live the kind of peace and fullness and wholeness that God desires for each and every one of us. Amen.
Friends, please be seated. As we wait in Advent for the fullness of God, for the coming of Christ, we share our joys and our concerns with one another. Here in this church, we lift up our joys and concerns so that we may pray for them here in this space, and so that each of us may take them with us on this week to come. And so I ask you this morning, what joys and what concerns are on your hearts and on your minds? As I wait to see a hand, let me share a joy with you. As you read your hymns every week, I hope that you pay attention to what else is on the page other than the words. On each page, you will notice that often there is the person who put the hymn together. It is a story about the hymn. It is a way of understanding that hymn and drawing us deeper into it. This morning, I have a prayer of joy. For the hymn, with joy, draw water. I don't know if you looked. I don't know if you noticed. I don't know if you paid attention. But that hymn was written by our own beloved Anne McKinstry. For that, I have joy in my heart. Thank you, Anne. What other joys and concerns do we have this morning?
I'd like to give thanks for my new granddaughter, born in Boston this morning.
And does she have a name at this point?
No name yet.
Well, we give thanks for the new granddaughter. Pray for all those who suffered in the fire in Pittsfield, and especially for the young boy who's struggling for his life. Jean. It is great that Rudy and Mary are back home. Let us keep them in our prayers as Rudy continues to recover. Tristan. Wonderful. For the joy of siblings and for safe travels, we lift up a joy. It is a joy for us as well, Brother David. We are glad you're here. Amen. You got good results. We give thanks for good medical news. Other joys and concerns. Let us then take a moment to let those joys and concerns settle into our hearts. Mindful of each of the joys and every one of the concerns, I invite you to lift your voices together in the unison prayer as printed in your bulletin. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Master of both the light and the darkness, send your Holy Spirit upon our preparations for Christmas. We who have so much to do seek quiet spaces to hear your voice each day. We who are anxious over many things look forward to your coming among us. We who are blessed in so many ways long for the complete joy of your kingdom. We whose hearts are heavy seek the joy of your presence. We are your people, walking in darkness, yet seeking the light. To you we say, come, Lord Jesus. We entrust all these things, God, to you, through the one for whom we wait, and through the one who taught us to pray, saying out loud and together, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Friends, the one we wait for in Advent said this. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This morning, I invite you to put your heart into giving. Put your heart into gratitude. Put your heart into the ministries of this church and the life and the light that they bring forth. How? Simply by putting your treasure here in these plates, whether coin or check or bill. Take that treasure out of your pocket and trust it into the ministries of this church that light and life might spring forth. It is in that spirit that this morning's offering will be given and received.
Thank you.
fount of light, shine brightly on these gifts. Make them glow with your love and grace and peace. Shine brightly on our hearts too, God, that we may ever more faithful your servants be and that we might know you more as you really are. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the one for whom we wait. And let us all say, Amen. Friends, as we close our worship, there are a couple of invitations that I would like to extend to you. One is that after worship, you come through those doors and join us for food and fellowship, that you might find an ornament on that Christmas tree and a gift to buy, and that you linger for us just a little bit longer. And now, even though you have just sat down, I invite you to get back on your feet so we can close the worship in song. Sisters and brothers, God sends us forth into the world to accept the cost and to discover the joy of discipleship. So go now, carrying with you the peace of Christ, the love of God, and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. And let all the people say, Amen.